which I'm talking about. I called this series The Voice simply because we're talking about hearing God's voice, and that's what we tried to do the last couple, or last week we started this, and over the next couple of weeks we'll talk about this in depth, but kind of gave you the foundational thought to this last week. And really, through the 21 days of prayer, that is my prayer, is that you do hear God's voice. Our foundational scripture, let me give you this, for this series, is found in John chapter 10. And God is basically giving this metaphor about how we know His voice, how God is like a shepherd, and we are His sheep. And He says the gatekeeper opens the gate for Him, and the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. And He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. God always wants to be a leader to you. He always wants to guide. And I think I gave you the example that it is said that if two shepherds were leading their herds, their flocks, and they were to cross the same road together going opposite directions, that all the one shepherd has to do is make his sound, yep, or whatever. And all of those sheep will separate and follow the voice of that shepherd. It's how that works, and they know His voice, and He leads them out and goes ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. But they will never follow a stranger's voice. They'll never follow the world's voice. In fact, they'll run away from that because they do not recognize. They don't recognize. They haven't made that a part of a, it's not familiar. Let's say it like that. And I think God is wanting us to put the wrong voices out of our lives so that we can actually clearly hear His voice, or the voice, the shepherd's voice. And today I actually want to talk about that in some regard, that God actually is speaking to each of us personally. I do believe that. I want to give you both the why and the how, that why does God want to have this intimate individual conversations with you and I? Why is it that God wants to have that? And then what does that look like when it does come? What does it look like when God does speak something? And I want to talk about that. And I want to say this because there's some teaching right now in the body of Christ that God stopped speaking when the Bible was written. And there's actually a teaching in the body of Christ that says that God is, He's no longer speaking. Like God's last words, like Jesus' last words to us was actually in Acts chapter 1. That was His last words, and He ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's it. And there's a lot of teaching going around like that was it. And then the voice of God was closed off in the book of Revelation. It ended there. Like people say, well, if you want to hear from God, you got to read the Bible, which is a great way to hear from God. Let me say that. But I truly believe God is still speaking to people individually right now. And I still believe that God still is trying to speak to us today. In fact, Dallas Willard said this: if God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they could have an actual personal relationship with God. That's a very true statement. I read that in a book, and I thought that, and I heard another pastor say that same thing, is that I actually think we would, if we teach that thought, that God no longer speaks, that He's not speaking to us, then the greatest disservice we do is that to tell people, hey, you can have a personal relationship with God, right? And then in some groups or of the body of Christ, there is this thought that the only way that you can hear from God is that you got to either read the Bible or you got to kind of go through. And again, the Bible is a great way to hear, but God is still speaking. One of my joys, actually get a little bit of a kick out of it, is to tell people that God isn't always the God that is represented by religion or church. Partly because I'm a little bit of a rebel. Some of you are like, what? Didn't know that, right? I actually like telling people things that are contrary, that some religions have taught that are contrary to Scripture. I like kind of getting on the soapbox. that okay? I know all of you are perfect, and I'm really struggling, but that's the way I am. I kind of get a kick out of it. I like telling people, hey, God's not distant. He's not mad. He's not critical, right? I've gotten around some of the people that I was brought up around. I'm like, you know, God's not yelling at people. Neither should you. Right. And God's not cursing at people.
It's true.
What? Yeah, you're not. He's actually up close and personal. And he wants to have this active, intimate relationship with all of us. And really, I get a lot of joy out of telling people that God is trying to have a personal relationship with you. And I've thought for years that Christianity, or the church, let me say the church, I think the church has a branding problem. There's a part of Christianity that shows this very religious side of things that shows God as being this religious hierarchy. And that's not how the Bible describes God at all. Because the Bible says he's longing to have this personal relationship. He's longing to have this closeness. Actually, the Bible calls it, when he uses the word Father, Abba, Father, he uses the most intimate word for Father, which is Daddy, Father. And he's saying God wants this with his sons and daughters. He's wanting to have that. Here's a verse I thought about when I got to thinking about it. We just sang this very song, and Justin had no idea I was going to bring it up, but you get this from the Christmas story, but it says the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him, see, his name is going to be Jesus, but they'll give him this nickname, right? They'll call him Emmanuel, and Emmanuel simply means up close and personal, God with us. I want to have this intimate, up close and personal relationship, and that's what I want. And my prayer for this service, actually this week, this past week during the 21 days, has been that God would speak to us individually during this 35 minutes that I'm going to share. Give or take a minute. I'm serious, that more than just taking notes, more than just getting, you know, this in our minds or I was in church today. My prayer is that God actually would speak to you. Amen. Right where you're sitting. That your hearts would be open to that personally. And if you will allow, I believe God will say something right where you are in the next few minutes. I really do. He wants to talk to us personally. And let me give you three reasons why God is trying to do that real quick. These are some things that people oftentimes don't realize, that God, the reason God really wants to speak to us, what's the reasons behind it? Well, the first reason is that God speaks to facilitate friendship. Right? And go back to the garden. The reason that he created Adam and Eve, people always say, well, he would have minions, right? He could worship him and bow down before him. Actually, the Bible says God walked with Adam and talked to him in the cool of the garden. God longed for friendship. That intimacy, that closeness, right? And then all of a sudden, there's a failure there, right? And so God's like, man, we can't have sin. Sin doesn't, we can't coexist. So then fast forward, he gets to Moses. And the Bible says things like, well, Exodus 33:11, I think it is. He says that, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face like one speaks to his friends. We don't have that up there. Right? Like one speaks to a friend. Sometimes I'll hear people say, it's like they have this, right? I'll hear people pray and they think they've got to wax eloquent, I think the Bible calls it, right? So that when they get together and they pray, they got to sound like King James Version.
It's true.
You know what I'm talking about, yeah. Right? Like God is British. And we a thousand goeth this over there, this, thank you, Lord, this. And to me, it's like, okay, God just, all this is, friendship, all this is that God just simply wants a conversation. That's all prayer is. Prayer's not you trying to sound, right? That's what the Pharisees were. That's what people were having. Jesus was having a big issue with the Pharisees because he's like, you guys sound so spiritual, but then you don't walk it. He's like, all God wants is a conversation. A conversation. Just trying to have a friendship with us. Here's the second one. And that is that God speaks to provide guidance, to give us guidance. That's the second one. Not sure where we're at. Lord sees danger, right? The Lord sees danger or roads we shouldn't take, and he's trying to guide us. So every time that we go through things, or every time that we're facing things, right, God says, hey, listen, let me say this. You know what causes tension in guidance? Is when God says don't do something, right, the tension is that we're doing what we're doing because we think it's the right thing to do. So when somebody says don't do that, that's where the tension comes from, right? Think about it in your own life, right? Anytime that there is an issue or there is something happening in your life where you're saying, you know what, I want to have this, and God starts to guide you away from it, that creates a tension because you're probably not going to agree with it. It's like, or like it much because you believe that what you're doing, you think what you're doing is the right thing. Right? This is, this is what I need to do. This is the right direction for me. This is fun. But you need to know that God sees, here's a key thought, God sees the end from the beginning. God sees the end from the beginning. So, I'll give you an example of this. One of the questions that always come, one of the hardest things for me as a pastor, hardest thing I've ever, in any years I've done this, and I've done this a lot of years. The hardest thing for me to do is walk beside a family who is burying a child. It's very hard. And going through families who've had a passing of a child. And the question that always arises, right, that always comes from that, is the question why. Right? Everybody has that question, why? They were so young. Why did God take them so? And one of the scriptures that God has actually given me that I've shared several times in doing and walking with families is Isaiah 57. It literally says that good people often pass away before their time, or what we think is before their time. But it goes on to say that, but God was keeping them from the evil that was to come. Something we can't see, because he sees the end from the beginning. God has perspective of things. He leads, he guides, he says, hey, I know what's over there. You don't need to go over there. And this is where trusting God comes into play, because many, and you may think, right, this is, so like in a dating relationship, people say, well, this is the right one, right? But they're causing you to compromise the value that God put in you. Be careful. I know I'm preaching now. I'm meddling, but it's true, right? Or how about, let's get off of that. How about it's making a purchase? One of the things that I try to do is I try to let the excitement of making a purchase die before I make the purchase. Because then I can clearly see it's not my emotions purchasing something. Are you with me? And sometimes God is trying to guide you out of a place that's going to be a bondage, and sometimes we're not listening. And so that's one of the reasons God speaks, is to provide that guidance. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, listen to God. Listen to God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. And these are just reasons why he's talking. These are that God is a good father. He wants to help you. Even though you can't see it, he does. He sees the end from the beginning. Here's the third one. And that is that God speaks to provide perspective. And I think you've already seen that one. Yeah, we got that one. God speaks to provide perspective. It's a perspective that he has. You don't currently have it, but God has a perspective that you can't see. Now listen to this. Everything that you are seeing is not actually what is going on. Or let me say it like this. Everything that you currently see is not all that's going on. Some of us need to get this thought. There's another dynamic happening, not to mention an internal dynamic happening, but God has both perspectives at the same time. And God is trying to unveil some things to us that are in another realm. This realm it's actually the realm that God lives in, and the supernatural realm. It's outside of where we are at times. And he doesn't need you seeing things that are just on the surface. God needs us a little deeper. God would love to open your mind where it says, no eye has seen, right? No ear has heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God will reveal it to you, to that person, by His Spirit. Another dynamic. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that you and I do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We don't walk by what we see. We don't live by what we see. We live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, say it like this. Your goal should be to put your listening ahead of your looking. Did I say that right? Yeah. Your goal should be put your listening ahead. I'll give you an example. There's a great story I heard from a pastor, and it's a story of the Wisconsin Badger football team. They were playing a game on Saturday in the late fall, and they were getting just beat, right? Probably playing OU. And they were getting beat down and losing terribly. But every time there was a play, whether it was a negative play or a good play, whatever it was, they found the fans were cheering. Even though their team was losing, the fans were cheering. And as the story goes, what was happening is that at the same time across town, the Milwaukee Brewers were actually playing a playoff game, a baseball game. And many of the fans sitting at the Badger Stadium had earbuds in. And they were listening to this. Every time the Milwaukee Brewers would score a run, they would be cheering and they would be cheering. And it confused the players of the Badgers. And they're like, what's going on? And the thing that kind of stood out in this thought was that every time they would score a run, the fans would cheer. So they were looking, so the fans were looking at defeat, but they were listening to victory. I'm a preacher, and that will preach, I promise you that. All right? They're looking at one thing in one realm, and then they're listening to another thing in another realm, and they're responding to what they're hearing rather than what they're seeing. I think sometimes we could probably use a little bit of that, where we respond to what we hear rather than what we're seeing. I know I'm probably in that boat. And God's the same. He would love for us to respond to what we're hearing from Him rather than what we're seeing around our world. Listen, here, let me give you a little side note to this. A little parenthetical thought. This is the time for this. If the church ever needed to hear that very part of this word, it's now. Because we see things taking place in our country right now, the violence, the racism, the shootings. And by the way, in case you have not, we have not made it clear, let me just say this, and I'll make it clear for everyone. Racism, violence, bigotry, the KKK, white supremacy, any supremacy other than the supremacy of Christ is of the devil, period. And listen, we are the body of Christ. We speak out against that stuff. But at the same time, I'm not going to get pulled into all that. And sometimes we need to just get off social media instead of making a reply every time we hear something, somebody we don't agree with. Maybe we should just kind of keep walking. Are you with me? I know it's a little bit of a parenthetical thought, but sometimes we are caught up in that. Everything we see, oh man, somebody said something, right? I got to reply. Okay. I don't get me wrong, I want to do it at times. That's why I'm not on social media that often. But I jumped back on the last few months because my son's at boot camp in the Marines, right? And they post pictures of him, and I've got to see him like two or three or four times. He's camera hog or whatever, I don't know. But he's on there, and it just thrills my heart to be able to see him. But then all of a sudden you scroll down a little further, and I'm never one to look at the notification. I just don't care, right? If you go to my social media page, I have all these red things at the top. And my wife came to me the other day and goes, don't that just bother you to have all that up there? I'm like, I wouldn't even know what it is. That's just me. I'm like, I don't care because I don't need to go on there and see whatever, you know. I think it's great that you're right? You learned how to ride a bike. Awesome. Way to go. And I think that's encouraging. But then it's the next person, right, telling me how, you know, there's no such thing as Satan, and he's not, and there's no spiritual warfare. We're just making all that up. And I'm just like, dude, I want to get a hold of you. Yeah. Right? So I'm better off not replying. I'm better off not hitting that. And I think sometimes in our society, right, we get pulled into this, right? Even though it's happening around us, right, and we'll be aware of it, I'm not going to get pulled into the ugliness of it. And that's the devil's goal. It is. To get you not, to only listening to defeat. But let me say it like that. Not only listening to defeat, but joining into defeat. The negatives. So we know why God speaks. He's trying to show us some things. So what does it look like when he actually does it? And really, if you look at the Bible, there's actually over a dozen times that God speaks. He speaks obviously through pastors and prophets and leaders and teachers. He speaks through his word. He speaks through pain. He speaks through consequence. He speaks through loud thunder or peals of thunder and rushing water. We've seen all of those things where God speaks through fire. He speaks through different venues and different avenues to speak to us. But there's one that sticks out to me that I want to focus on today. And I think it's the one that probably God uses the most to speak to you and I, but we miss it the most. It's the one we rarely recognize, and it's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. But before I get there, in 1 Kings 18, Elijah has just had this great victory over the prophets of Baal. Most of us are very familiar with this story. But if you're not, go read this. It's one of the greatest victories you'll ever read about. Elijah gets to this point where you want to hear real sarcasm, go read that story. Because Elijah's on the mountain going, hey, maybe your God's on the toilet. I mean, he actually is referencing stuff like that. He's making fun of them the whole time. And he does all this, and then he tells them in a time where the land is barren, there's no rain, he tells them bring water, he does all this stuff, and bring a sacrifice, and all of a sudden God consumes it, and man, everybody realizes who's real God. But at the end of this, what's I find interesting about this story is that Elijah has just had this great victory. I mean, amazing. Which all of us would go, man, I'm on cloud nine. And the Bible says that he gets depressed. In chapter 19, he gets this deep depression. And he thinks everyone's against him. And he's running for his life, and he hides in the cave. And God has to come, and he speaks to him. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, says, the Lord said, go out, seek. So God's going to come. He's going to say, hey, listen, I know you're down, but let me tell you something. And God said, hey, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by, and he's going to tell you some things. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Which we would think automatically, man, God's got to be in that, right? Because that's amazing. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord still, he wasn't in the fire. After a fire came a gentle whisper. And one translation says, a still, small voice. And I want to focus in on that being the way God speaks to us. And I want us to learn how to recognize the whisper, the whispers from the voice that God's given us, the voice that calls to us. And I think he does this more than any of us realize. So I want to show you four areas that you can begin to recognize the whispers of God. I think God does this. So number one, I think God speaks to us. I think when he does, I think it's he whispers encouragement. I think one of the ways God whispers, I think God does it all day long. I really do. Whenever someone gets to you or gets your goat, whatever you want to call it, I don't know what that means, but whenever somebody, you know, you let those people get to you and you get discouraged, I think God's right there trying to say something to us. I do. God's not yelling. God's not cursing and saying, hey, I think I've been in those churches where when God, what God is saying is, why haven't you been to church? Why don't you read the Bible more? I don't think God's saying, I think God is encouraging. I say that, and I think maybe you're sitting there taking that in, but I've been in that place where it was all about when God's going to say something to you, and what God is going to say is how bad you are at this and how much of a failure you've been. And I'll be honest with you, I hear that a lot. As a pastor, I hear that a lot. Not from people, from the devil. Right? I do. But I think God is right there. It's like the shoulder thing. Let's go back to the cartoon of Tom and Jerry. I don't know why, but the devil over here and the angel cat over here. I know, I'm dating myself. Just bear with me, all right? It's okay. You next week we'll ask you to come speak and you do a little better. But the fact is that I always think like that, right? And I get these whispers over here, and then the whisper over here. And I think God is daily trying to encourage us. He's whispering these encouragements constantly. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us things like, hey, you're God's child. Meaning, he's your father. No father of any worth wants to do any harm or give anything bad to his children. Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I see you as part of the family. You're part of God's family. Isaiah 55:3 says, pay attention, come close now, listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment. And I highlighted the words with you because I think it's an individual thing. I don't think he's speaking corporately. I think he's speaking individually. I want to give life-giving, life-nourishing words to you. I'm going to make this covenant with you. The same covenant, now think about this, that I made with David, sure, solid, and enduring love. He knows, listen, the way I think about it is that God knows what you did, and he still loves you. Why is that, Pastor? Why is God like that? Why is God trying to encourage me? Well, I wrote down three thoughts on the way he encourages us. And the first one is that he just says, hey, you're my child. Right? You're mine. There isn't a parent in here, right? If you've raised up children, I'm not talking if you've got little bitty infants, but if you've raised up kids, right, and they're in that school age, whatever, there's not a parent in here that hasn't felt the frustration of some of the decisions that that child has made at times or not made. Oh, Pastor, no, I got perfect kids. Okay, wait a little bit. A couple of minutes. You, matter of fact, you don't even know, some of them are in there and you don't even know what they're doing right now, right? But I understand it. There's not a, my kids make some decisions. I've understood. But no matter how much disappointment you experience, they will always still be your child. There's nothing they can do to escape it. Pick your friends. You just can't pick your parents. I think God says, I know what you did last night, and I still love you. I know what you keep doing it. Do I want you to keep doing it? No. But I still love you. I still love you. You're mine. You're mine. Here's the second thing I think he speaks to us encouraging is I love you. I think it's just a simple thought, but I think I need to hear that occasionally. God, are you there? Oh, yeah, I love you. Right? Here's the third one, and that is I'm proud of you. As a child, I can remember, and some of you know some of my story, but I grew up in a pastor's home, but I was nowhere near a godly person. I loved to do what I loved to do, and I had fun doing it. But one day when God changed my life, it radically changed. It just changed my life. And I can remember struggling so much that how in the world would God, would you be proud of me? Do you realize what I've done? And God's still saying, but it wasn't until I had children that I went, even though they mess up, even though they would have moments, and not to say they were nothing like me, but even though they had moments, I'm still just as proud of them today, right, as I've ever been. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God, I think God's trying to speak that. He doesn't just see. I think sometimes we think God sees us through the lens that we see through. How you judge people, how you see people, God doesn't see you through that lens. God doesn't see you through that lens. God sees you through the lens of who you are becoming, not who you were, not what you did. 1 John says, in verse 3 says, what you will be has not yet been made known. I don't know who that's for, but I think God's trying to encourage someone here. I really feel that in my heart. That I don't think God sees you through the lens of what you are or what you've been. I think God sees you through the lens of what you're becoming. That's good. Number two, let me give you another one. I think God also whispers to us warnings. This is a really good one, even though the Bible doesn't use the exact phrase. I'll use a little Christianese on you. We use the word, people will come up with the thought that instead of using, hey, God's warning me, they'll say, I get a check in my spirit. You ever heard that? You ever said that? I've said that where you got something, you know, I don't know where that came from. It's just kind of a common sense thing. I was going to do this. I just felt this check, and I shouldn't do it. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7 says, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia after they had gone to another country. They tried to go into this place, but the Spirit did not permit them to do it. And so sometimes, I think sometimes we think, well, this is the good way to do it. This is the thing I should do. And I think the Holy Spirit is kind of talking to us. I think God whispers at times, hey, don't go that way. I know you think this is good to do, or this is something you should respond to or react to, but don't do it. And I think that's what that scripture is saying, is that the Spirit, we felt like we should go here, and we were going to minister everywhere we could, and the Spirit just said, hey, don't go over there. Because what's going to happen over there, you don't want that to happen. Does that make sense? And I think that's sometimes what God is trying to warn us. We have God that speaks, who warns us at times. And many times it comes in this form, so I give you three thoughts to this, and that is that don't do it. Just don't do it. Meaning, don't hang with those people because they're going to cause you to compromise the things that I put in you. I could say, don't date that person because it may compromise your walk with me. I know you want a relationship, but they'll cause you to compromise me. Don't buy that right now. Don't go there. Or maybe it's this warning, and that is, in that thing you shouldn't be doing, that secret, right? Listen, I'm not going to speak to you something I don't know about. I know what I'm talking about right here. That secret you have that you think nobody knows, right? You need to find somebody and tell them. You do. You need to find a friend, your spouse, whatever, and say, hey, I'm struggling, before it's too late, before you slip back. Let that thing you're doing that you should not be doing, let it end. Let it end. Or maybe the warning comes in this sense, and that is just, it's time for us to get some people in our lives, get some help. Right? What I mean by that is, sometimes people say, you mean counseling? I think there's all kinds of help. But one of the things I think is great, and I believe strongly, and this is why you hear me preach it all the time, and I know this is going to sound like an advertisement, but it's true. In September, on the 8th, when we launch small groups, many of you have never caught that vision. You need to. Because you keep going through life, and you're going, man, I can't overcome this thing, can't overcome this thing. And what you need is some of those, I call them front yard meetings. You ever had one of those? Where when everybody leaves the group and it's just you and the leader, and you say, hey, listen, every time I leave for work, I'm having these struggles. My wife don't know about it, or my husband don't know. And I'm just, and you have these. Can you pray for me? Yeah. Some of us need those front yard meetings.
It's true.
I know I'm meddling, but this is where we are. Right? And I'm not trying to pick at anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, hey, I know what I'm talking about. Because when you get that thing out, right? When you get some help and you quit that thing and you let that thing die, I promise you, life is going to be so much freer. The joy of the Lord is going to be much greater and bigger and brighter in your life. Right? Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice from behind you saying, hey, this is the way. This is the way. Don't go over there. Go this way. Here's the third one. I think God whispers direction. Many of us are looking for direction on things, myself included, from time to time. And here's a key to this one. You got to involve God in the entire process. Don't just ask Him for the bailout after a bad decision. Involve Him in the whole thing. Involve God in the beginning stages of every decision you make. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me. Luke 2, 27 says, moved by the Spirit, we went to the temple courts. I don't know what God is saying to you specifically. That's between you and God. But one of the things that this speaks to me, three things that point out to me, and that is that sometimes God just speaks direction to say, slow down. And some people say, yep, I hear that one, because I'm busy and I've got a lot of things in my life. I'm doing too much. I got to slow down. Well, be careful, because sometimes God may be speaking the other thing direction, the opposite of that, as let's go. Do it now. Step out. Let's achieve something. Why not now? Pick it up a little bit. Let's go for it. Just do it. Whatever. Nike. All right? Or maybe the third one would be just, hey, take the next step. Take the next step. Sometimes God's just saying, hey, it's time just to, you've been here for a while. You've camped here for a while. Now just take another step. Here's the fourth one. And that is that God whispers dreams. Probably my favorite one. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, in the last days, God said, I'll pour out my Spirit on everybody. On all people. And He said, what's going to happen is your sons and daughters, they're going to prophesy. So there's going to be a prophetic, so there's going to be words. And He said, then what will happen is that young men will see visions, and then old men are going to dream dreams. But one of the scriptures I wanted you to see is found in Job chapter 33. It says, for God speaks again and again. He speaks in dreams and in visions of the night. And I started thinking about God speaking in our lives and the dreams that He gives us and the various things that He's saying to us and the whispers that He gives us. I guess my final thought on all this is, what would be our response? What's my response to if God speaks, if God whispers, what's my response? And I think the response is, I just put it in the notes, and that is that, speak to me, Lord. I'm open to hear, and I'm eager to respond. I think in my life, I've always been open to hear the voice of God. But I put the last thought in there because I'm not sure I've always been eager to respond if I hear it. And sometimes people say, I just don't know how to hear God. And I think one of the things, you got to reverse that. I think God wants to speak to people who will respond. The Bible says when Jesus called to his disciples, He called them fishermen. He said, hey, come follow me. The Bible says they instantly left their nets and followed Him, eager to respond. My question to all of us today If you're saying, Pastor, I get it. God, I get the reasons God does speak to us. He wants to initiate the friendship. He's doing these things, right? And I understand that he whispers a lot of times that sometimes I'm so busy, I'm so cluttered that I don't hear it. But let me just tell you, let me close with this. And that is that if I'm eager to respond to what God is willing to say, then I think God is so willing to say what I'm eager to respond to. So it's that open, I'm open to hear it, God. I'm open to hear it. You know what? When I hear it, I'm willing to respond. I'm eager to respond to it too. Will you bow your heads with me just for a moment? One of the things about hearing God's voice is when we hear what he's saying to us about our life, about our relationship with him. And I understand, listen, there's not one perfect person in this place. Nobody. But one of the things about many of us is that we have been forgiven. We've taken everything that we've done, not confessed every individual thing, but what we've done is said, God, I've sinned. I've failed. I've missed it. Sorry. We've repented of that and we've turned and walked a different direction. And even though we still kind of look back occasionally, even though we kind of still miss it with attitude and some of the things that we do in our various lives and behavioral things, God, we still walk in that thing where you love us. Can't escape being your kid. But maybe you're here today and God is saying one specific thing to you. And it's just, let me in. Let me have a relationship with you. I just want to be your Father, your Savior, your Lord. Maybe God's saying that, speaking that. My prayer for you is that you'll respond. That you'll respond. So without anybody looking around, just very reverent, just for a moment, as people make decisions, I want to ask you this question. Can he have your life? If he doesn't have it already, can he have your life? You commit it to him. And you know, you're sitting there today just like I was several years ago going, I know I need to do this. I know I do. I'm open and I'm eager to respond. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. One of the things I do want to do is I want to pray for you. I actually want to lead you in a prayer that will change your life. That will take you from this life without Christ to a life with Christ. You'd say, Pastor, I need that kind of relationship with God. Will you slip your hand up and put it right back down? Anybody in this room, say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Anybody at all? I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want to simply pray for you. Father, I pray over every life here. We're all Christians, God, thank you. Thank you for that. I don't know what's in the heart of every person. The name Christian only, like being a Christian nation or being born in a Christian home, has no effect until we make it a personal, intimate encounter with you. It's not a hard statement, it's just a true statement. We have to choose you. And so today, God, I pray over every life here, every heart, every home, every family. And Father, that our hearts will be bent towards you. That Lord, as we go through our 21 days of prayer and as a church and as we go through our life and as the summer comes to a close and the school year begins again, I thank you, Lord. That our passion for you, our zeal for you, our ability to hear you, God, is strengthened. Father, that we're revived. That, Lord, the vacations we've taken from work, sometimes we've taken from you too. Father, I pray, God, today revive us. Revive our ears to hear, God. Revive our hearts, Lord. Revive our lives for you, our passion, our zeal for your house and for the things of God. Revive us, Lord, in a way, Lord, that is so passionate and so powerful, God, that those that we come in contact will say, what's in you? Why do you have so much joy in such a bad time of our world? And it's because we can say, I know the one who gives life. I've heard his voice. And I'm open to it. And I'm willing to respond to it. And we say, you, Lord, have made the difference in our lives. You. Your voice. Though we may see defeat, let us hear victory. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said together.